Okay, we want to welcome everybody that's watching online this morning to our Bible study here at Waldo Baptist Church. Good to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day. We're in the fifth chapter of the book of 1 Peter. Before we begin our study together, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you today in the mighty name of Jesus, thanking you for so great a salvation that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Although we did not deserve it, could not earn it, and had no merit, you sent your Son into our dark and dying world to live a life we could not live, to die on a cross in our place, that we might have the opportunity to become the children of God. So, Father, we thank you because of who you are, because of what you've done, and because of what you're going to do. We pray for our sick and hurting and those unable to be here today, that you might bless them with healing and grace and comfort. We pray for those that have lost loved ones, that you might comfort them in their heart of hearts, that they might be a great rejoicing day when they're joined back together once again in your kingdom. And Father, we pray that you'd give us clarity of mind, an understanding spirit, that we might be able to grasp how high, how wide, how deep is the love of God. We thank you for the cross and Christ Jesus, your Son, our Savior and our Lord. And we ask all this in his precious name, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. We're studying in the fifth chapter of the book of 1 Peter. And I'm going to begin reading in chapter 5, verse 1. And what we first of all see is Peter writing to the pastors or elders of the churches there in these five provinces, to the people. He is writing actually to the shepherds and to the sheep. And the shepherds being the pastors over the flock that he's entrusted to them, and the sheep being those that belong to that church, wherever the pastors are pastoring, or the shepherds are shepherding. And so he has a message for both. And remember, we always want to remember that the message to the sheep is the message to the pastor as well, because, first of all, we are a sheep. And so we have to realize that that is a common thing when we look at the message to the sheep. It is a message to the pastor as well, that we would understand that. But there is a significant difference in the messages that he sends to the shepherds and to the sheep, because the shepherds have a responsibility that God has given them as he has called them out and entrusted them with a certain flock in a certain place, that they might be faithful in what God has called them to do and saved them to do, that they might be exactly what God would have them be in leading that flock of people. And so we see, as we already said through this, he says to the elders, plural, among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you. And now that's where we left off last Sunday, not lording it over those entrusted to you. And then he says, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Now, the shepherd could do all these things down to the last few words here, But when he says, but being examples to the flock, the shepherd could do everything above that. But if he's not an example of what he is teaching and preaching, then his words are empty. If the shepherd, if the pastor teacher does not live the life that he proclaims that the sheep should live, then his words carry no weight. They carry no force in them. Because the shepherd should be the primary example, except for Christ himself, that the flock sees. So if the shepherd says, well, you should be faithful, he's not faithful. Are the sheep going to follow him? Probably not. If the shepherd says you should love one another, but he's not loving, are the sheep going to follow? Probably not. If the shepherd says you should live this exemplary kind of life, for example, if he says you should pay your bills, but he does not, the sheep are probably not going to follow him. So as you look at all these things that he's talked about so far, it all comes down not only to what the shepherd says, but how the shepherd lives. Because the proof of it all is not in what the shepherd says, but it is in how the shepherd lives. And so he's saying here, you are to be an example for the flock that I have entrusted to you. And that's what he's talking about here in chapter 5 as we look at these words that he gives in the scripture here. And that's what we want to think about. The first thing that we see this morning that we haven't looked at as well, proving to be examples to the flock. MacArthur says the single truest quality of leadership is the power of an exemplary life. If you are going to lead, I remember when I came in 1977, which seems like an eternity ago, when I came to Waldo Baptist Church in 1977, there was two things I told the church, which I meant with all my heart. I said, you will always know everything I know. Nothing will ever be done in the church but what the church is aware of what's being done. And the second thing I said was, I'll never ask you to do anything that I'm not willing to do. I'll never ask you to do anything that I'm not willing to do. Because, as MacArthur has said, one of the greatest influences that the shepherd has is to lead the flock not just by words, but by example. And that is so important. So important. Many churches have failed because the shepherd did not lead by example. And so this is why Peter is saying this to the shepherds of these flocks that are scattered out these five provinces. And so we see the importance of all this as we look at that. Now then, he says here, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Now, there's one thing that the shepherd has to do if he is to lead. He has to see the big picture. You have to see the flock that God has entrusted to you, you have to see their strengths and you have to see their weaknesses. You have to take their strengths and you have to make sure that those who are gifted in certain areas with the strengths that God has given them are plugged in to the mission of the church where they can be used. The church, first of all, the church will never be any stronger than the families in the church. That's a given. The church will never be any stronger than the people in the church that are allowed to use their gifts, God-given gifts that God has given them. Because it's not my church, it's not Nate's church, it's Christ's church. And because of that, it takes all of us, no matter who we are, whether we've been saved for 30 minutes or 30 years, to use the gifts that God has given us in the body of Christ so that it might function fully as God has intended for it to function. So, and I can't say that too much. It takes every one of us. And no one is more important than anybody else. We are all in the positions that God has placed us in the flock, in the body of Christ, in the church, as it pleased Him. Not as it pleased us, but as it pleased Him. So one of the shepherds, the pastor, the bishop, whatever you want to call him, job is to look at the flock, to look at the church, to look at the strength and the weaknesses of it, to help build it up where it's weak and send it out where it's strong and use it, make sure it is used for the glory of God. Another thing the shepherd has to do, whether he's in the field with the sheep, as in the Old Testament, or in the church with the flock, he has to see and understand the threats to the flock. He has to understand that which stands as a threat to the flock of God and make sure that those things are stopped. So when we see, as Peter is writing to the pastor elders here over these five provinces, and he's writing to the sheep first of all and then to the shepherds, we are seeing exactly what he's talking about here concerning the shepherds. I would just want to throw in some things that he's already said here. One thing that we see here that he says, which is so important, he said, not because you must, but because you are willing. Not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over. Now when he says not lording it over, he means not trying to dominate. Not trying to dominate. If a pastor leads by examples, there's no reason to dominate. There's no reason to dominate anyway. Because all of us are the same. We're just sinners saved by grace. No matter who we are. There's no need to try to dominate over anyone. The only time I have, or Nate has, or Caleb, or Aaron, or anyone else for that matter, the only time we have authority is when we use the Word of God. Whatever the Word of God says, that's where the authority comes from. It doesn't come from the individual. It comes from the Word of God. That's why we must preach the Word of God. We must teach the Word of God. And we must live according to the Word of God. Because the only authority that we have comes from the Word of God. I could stand here all day and tell you what my ideas and my opinions are, but that doesn't hold any water. The only thing that really counts is thus saith the Lord. And so that's really what we need to know. That's what we need to hear. That's what we need to see, because that changes everything. I have Pandora on my phone. Not because I know how to do it, but because I have granddaughters. And when I'm in my car, I can click it over to Pandora and listen to gospel music while I'm driving over here to get to church. And music helps me. I don't know if it helps you or not, but when I listen, now listen to me, when I listen to that which is sung that I know is absolutely true because of the Word of God, it lifts me. It lifts me. It picks me up to a higher plane. And I rejoice and I praise in my heart, not because of the music, which is good, not because of the music, but that which is being sung is true. That which is being sung is true because I know it is true by the Word of God, and when the Word of God is sung and praised, it lifts me to a higher level than I would be otherwise. And I worship. So why should the shepherd do what he does? He should do it for the glory of God. And then we find the motive here also in these scriptures when we see what else he says. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. When I was driving over here this morning and I listened to C.C. Williams singing about the worthiness of God and the glory of God, I not only could hear it, I could feel it. When you not only hear it, but you feel it, it lifts you to a higher place. That is why the shepherds do what they do. Because when they are in the Spirit doing what God has called them to do, and they know it is true by the Word of God, God lifts them to a higher place in their heart and in their mind, and God can use them because of it. Not because of money, not because I want a bigger church, not because I want to be seen, not because I think I'm somebody, but simply for the glory of God that you experience in your heart, because of what you've experienced through Him and what He has shown you in His Word and how He has changed your life. It all comes to the same thing. And so that's why Peter is saying to them, you don't do this for money. You don't do this for glory. You don't do this for pride. You don't do this to be seen or even to be heard. You do it for the glory of God. And you do it for the glory of God because you realize one day the glory is coming back. The glory is coming back to earth. And when the glory comes back, you'll be a part of it. That's why you sing, that's why you worship, that's why you preach, that's why you teach, that's why you do what you do, because the glory is coming back. When the glory is revealed, we all look forward to that, amen? And that's what we're all waiting on. And we realize it is absolutely real and absolutely true, not by the authority of what somebody says, but by the authority of the same God that wrote the Bible that is being preached from and taught from, that you realize that the authority is not coming from the individual, but is coming from Almighty God Himself. This is the Word of God. So that's all. When we look at these passages of Scripture, that's what we see when we look at that. Okay. Anybody got any question about what we see here? Input, questions, criticism, whatever? That brings us to the next part. Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 5. Young men, in the same way be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Why? Because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. We could stop right there. If there's one thing I don't want in my life, it is God against me. And if there's one thing in an individual life that causes God to work against him or her, it is when we are puffed up with pride and we think ourselves to be something which we are not. In other words, you don't toot your own horn. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, verse 6, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. All right, now let's go back to verse 5 and let's see what he's talking about here. Notice what he says. Young men, which I no longer am. Now, why does he say young men? Why is he addressing young men? He's talking to elders. He's talking to shepherds. He's talking to those who oversee the flock. He's talking to young men who would be shepherds and young men who would be in the flock. And what he's saying here, the reason he's talking to them now, as he is, in the provinces, in the churches of each area, he knows that when we are young, we are more aggressive. When we are young, we tend to think we can be or are someone we're not. When we are young, we think we have all the answers, and then as we grow older, we find out. I have learned in my life that when I began to have wisdom and to learn was when I realized I didn't know anything. When you come to the point and place in your life that you understand and realize you don't know much, you're really ready for God to use you and to grow you. As long as you think you know everything, God really can't use you and He can't grow you. It's only when you come to the place that you realize, I really don't know much. Because then you will learn. Then you will grow. Then you will start becoming what God has saved you to be. And so he's writing here. And don't get me wrong, I am so proud of Aaron and Caleb. And I'd throw David in there too because he's younger than I am, but he's really old now. We were talking the other day when we were all together, and I said, well, David and I, we go back a long way. A long way. And that is true. We really do. And Caleb, he's just a young whippersnapper. And Aaron. But I am so, I don't want to use the word proud because that's not the right word. I am so encouraged by what I see in them. I am so encouraged by how I see God using them. But there will be certain things they will never know and they will never learn until they've gone through them themselves. I don't care who you are. You think you know how you'll react or how you will do when you find yourself in that situation, but you will never know until you find yourself in that situation. And you have to go through those situations. You have to go through those trials. You have to go through those difficulties. You have to go through those hardships. You have to go through those things because it's in the midst of all that hardship, that trial, that tribulation, that you find out whether you really believe what you say you believe and you can really live what you say you want to live. No matter who you are, no matter what is your IQ, no matter if you have more degrees than Fahrenheit, you have to live through those things. Whether it's as sheep, or whether it is as shepherds, you have to go through those things before you can really understand what it takes to get through them. And every time you go through one, you see the faithfulness of God, the love of God, and the power of God in your life. And what is written on pages becomes a reality in your own heart and in your own life because of your experience. And you can say, I know, thus saith the Lord, because I've been there. So that's why Peter is now addressing, and we'll look at that tonight, the young men, the young elders within the churches as well. Because there are certain things you will never fully understand and know unless you live through them. I learned a long time ago when I was senior pastor of the church, and I would go out, be called out into a situation I'd never been in before. I could never go to someone that had lost a child, that had suffered great loss in a way I had, and say, I know how you feel, because I didn't. I had no idea how they felt. I could only say, I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sorry for your pain. I'm sorry that you hurt. But I know God will see you through. Because that, I do know beyond a shadow of a doubt. So when we go to, I remember the first time I had to go to a home where somebody had committed suicide. I couldn't walk in that home and say, I know how you feel. I walked in that home and said, I have no idea how you hurt. I have no idea how you hurt. But I know God loves you, and I know God is faithful. And I know there's, in God's plan, a reason, a purpose, and a plan that He will follow through in your life. And one day you'll see it, and you'll rejoice in it, because God never fails. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, as we come before you today, I ask you to bless Brother Aaron, to speak through him today. Be with our praise team, our musicians, Lord, as they lead us in worship. Lord, may we lift our voices, but more than our voices, may we lift our hearts to you in praise and glory because of who you are. May you be glorified in everything that's done. And I pray if there are someone here today that's never been born from above, that the Spirit of God might call them out of darkness into light, the Word of God might convict them in their hearts, and they might turn to Christ in faith and repentance and receive Him as the Lord of their life and follow Him throughout the ages. Lord, bless the service to follow. Bless these, your flock, as they depart from here that's been in the first service. Bless and watch over them and the service to follow. And may you be glorified in everything that's done. For we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And through his shed blood we pray. Amen.